You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're recapping the Chicago Bears' Week 2 win over the Seattle Seahawks. We'll talk about the strong performance from this Bears defense, the concerning performance from Mitchell Trubisky, and we'll kind of take a look at where Matt Nagy stands here after seemingly abandoning the running game again for the second week in a row. But we start once again with the story of the game, this Chicago Bears defense. For the second week in a row, they came to play. They were the leading driving force for this Bears team. I mean, we kind of knew going in, right, that the Bears were going to be able to get some pressure on Russell Wilson. I don't know if I was expecting quite that six sack performance. I mean, the way he truly neutralized Russell Wilson in that game. And it wasn't just Khalil Mack. That's the thing. I was actually a little bit impressed early on with how well the Seahawks right tackle was holding up, but the rest of the offensive line, everybody else was struggling. Akeem Hicks was getting after the quarterback. Aaron Lynch was getting after the quarterback. Roy Robertson Harris and Vic Fangio really timed out some effective blitzes. And I can't overlook Danny Trevathan, who led the Bears with two sacks in the game. I mean, clearly a dominating performance from Mack, your best player on the Bears roster, period. Strong, strong performance from Danny Trevathan, who might have been better even all around in this game, just in terms of like pure plays on the ball. But Mack did a lot of the dirty work. So, I mean, those two were very clearly the studs of this defense. And then Prince Amukamara comes up big with the pick six in the fourth quarter that sealed the game. I thought overall he had a decent performance. You know, he gave up that illegal contact penalty in the red zone that I think set up a Seahawks touchdown or field goal down the stretch there, and gave up a couple catches, but for the most part held his own, and of course makes up for it all with that interception. But, you know, on the other side of the spectrum, as well as those guys played, I thought we saw, you know, or didn't see, rather, nearly enough from Leonard Floyd. For the second week in a row, he was seemingly non-existent. I know he had a pass breakup in there. If I remember correctly, he was in on a play in coverage, and he recovered a fumble, but you're not seeing a guy really pressure the quarterback much at all. And I know he's got the club on his hand, but I just don't know, especially against a bad Seahawks offensive line, how much of an excuse that can be. You know, last week we saw him drop back in coverage a lot. That was not the case as much this week, and I would like to see him do more with his snaps opposite Khalil Mack, but instead it was Sam Acho, it was Aaron Lynch, who looked like the better outside linebackers there. And then on the inside, this might be a hot take, but I was disappointed with Roquan Smith. He gets his first career start, plays the majority of the game, and he was out of position quite a bit. Missed a couple of tackles. I saw at least two. And, you know, it seemed like Russell Wilson was targeting him a lot in the middle of the field on some of those quick throws. I think he led the Bears with seven or eight solo tackles. But I thought a lot of that was just because he was giving up space for the completion over the middle of the field. Like, he wasn't bad necessarily, but just not really making plays in the running game, missing a couple of tackles, not really in the best position all the time in pass coverage, and that's to be expected from a young player. I guess I was expecting a little bit more, that if they're handing the keys over to Roquan in the middle of the defense, then he should be ready to go, and I didn't feel like he was much of an upgrade over what we've seen from Nick Kwiatkowski, and Kwiatkowski really didn't play much at all in this game, so it's not really much to compare with him in this one, but just generally what we saw from Kwiatkowski, I thought they both, you know, Kwiatkowski last week and Roquan this week, they both had their flaws. I thought Kwiatkowski was able to make a few more plays against the run last week, but Roquan maybe a little bit, you know, his athleticism helping out the defense a little bit more. But overall, I was hoping for some more from that middle linebacker. But of course, it didn't make a huge difference. You know, the Bears were still getting after Russell Wilson. They still pretty well, you know, uprooted this Seahawks game plan. I thought the defensive line in particular played really well in run defense. And I know, again, a bad Seahawks offensive line, and they can never get their running game going. But Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, even Jonathan Bullard really playing stout there on the interior. And then give credit to Vic Fangio for bringing some blitzes. It wasn't a lot of blitzing, even though it felt like it. But I think it felt like more blitzing because it pretty much worked every single time. They were bringing down Russell Wilson or, you know, forcing a bad pass or, you know, XYZ. When Vic Fangio brought Bryce Callahan off the edge or Sherrick McManus or certainly Danny Trevathan, the Bears were getting home on those blitzes, and it really, really took its toll on the Seahawks offense. But I guess one of my other takeaways from this is that the Bears aren't going to play an offense with a bad offensive line like the Seahawks every week. I mean, yes, next week, they get the Arizona Cardinals, which might be the worst team in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills are giving them a run for their money, but might be the Bears are playing one of the two worst teams in the NFL next week, so a lot of things are going to go well in that game. But I'm trying to be cautious as to not get too ahead of myself here. The Seahawks are a banged-up team. Their offensive line isn't very good, and you know Russell Wilson really only made one big mistake, but I just am concerned that if the Bears play an offensive line that can hold up a little bit more and maybe in turn getting then better quarterback play with more time to throw and more time to attack the secondary, I don't know if the Bears can necessarily rely on this dominant of a defensive performance. This defense is clearly the strength of this team, and it is a very, very good defense. But I felt like in this game, they won because of their defense, and I'm not sure if that's something they can rely on every week. And they're going to need more from their young quarterback. And we'll look at Mitch Trubisky's performance next here. But first, I want to look back at the spread line for this game, because I put it out on Twitter. I wanted to keep track of, okay, if I hypothetically were to place my own bets on how the Bears would finish versus Vegas, I want to see if I would actually make some money before I potentially dive in deep here. And I thought, you know, I picked the Seahawks with the spread. Seahawks plus 4.5 was where it ended up on mybookie.ag. Thought it would be a little bit of a closer finish. I was wrong there. I picked the Bears straight up against the money line, which I was right there. And then the over-under on mybookie was 43, maybe it was 43.5. I thought it'd be the over. I thought we'd see a little bit more offense. I thought we'd see the Seahawks maybe neutralize some of the Bears pass rush a little bit more effectively, and I thought we'd see the Bears offense pick it up a little bit more, but instead the Bears finished with the under in that game. And if you didn't get in on the action last week, but you had a good feeling about the game, you thought the Bears would pull away like they did, you got to get in the action with mybookie.ag. If you go on there and sign up right now, they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code Locked On. And actually, they've been getting a lot of new bettors, you know, from people like you listening to this podcast, and they're willing to throw in an extra free $25 play if you're willing to log on and make your deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern. For some reason, they want to try and direct more of their web traffic towards later at night, and so they're willing to throw on an extra $25 if you use the promo code Locked On 25. You throw that 25 at the end. It's a free $25 play for a bet of your choice, all for just waiting a little bit later in the day to check out mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. So very clearly, the Bears defense won them that Monday night game against the Seattle Seahawks. And to me, it felt like they at times won in spite of their young quarterback. And I think it's time for a little bit of a reality check on Mitchell Trubisky, because this was one of his worst performances that we've seen through now, what, 14 starts in his NFL career. And I think, you know, there was a lot of reason to be encouraged and to be optimistic about development for this kid. But realistically, right now, he's just not there yet. And I think we need to scale back expectations. We need to scale back sort of the rate at which we think he can develop. Because, I mean, he threw the two interceptions, one of which was batted, which I don't necessarily hold against him. The first one to Allen Robinson was very poorly thrown. It was a mechanical issue. His mechanics on deep throws are just terrible. And we saw a lot of bad pocket presence. And this is just a kid who's not ready to lead the team to wins yet. And that's okay. We knew this was an inexperienced quarterback coming out of college. We knew it's going to take time. And now learning a new offense, we know it's going to take time for him to master it. I think we're seeing a guy thinking quite a bit on the field and not necessarily totally comfortable and confident. I think we see a comfortable and confident Mitchell Trubisky in those scripted plays. He comes out on that first drive. He knows exactly what the play is going to be. He's practiced that play. He knows exactly how it's going to go in order. And he can just really kind of relax, run the offense, and see the success kind of build on itself as they drive down the field. But when they get off that script, you know, at least we're still seeing some good command at the huddle and the line of scrimmage, but it's just not a comfort level in reading the defense and, you know, feeling the pocket and having that presence and sticking in his mechanics every time he throws the ball. I mean, we still see a few of those extended plays where he rolls out and pops it to Tariq Cohen down the right sideline for a big first down. And those are the ones that give you hope that this quarterback can make special plays. But the other 90% of this offense is one read, quick throws. And I'm going to be plenty critical of Matt Nagy later on in today's podcast, but I do think Mitchell Trubisky is limiting some of what Matt Nagy can do in the passing game in terms of working the ball more downfield. I know they've been talking about trying to be a more vertical offense, but Trubisky struggles with his mechanics on those vertical throws, and we only saw a few passes really travel downfield, one of which was intercepted, another bad overthrow to Taylor Gabriel as well, and just, you know, you're seeing Nagy have to kind of dial it back. The quick stuff, the one read, it's you're either throwing it to this receiver, or else you're probably going to take off and scramble. Some of that is by design, some of that is by Trubisky kind of doing that himself, but what it really means is the Bears need their playmakers to step up. Allen Robinson did a pretty good job in this game. He's never going to be a yards after catch guy, but he was a consistent possession receiver for Trubisky, caught the ball when it was thrown at him, even when it wasn't necessarily pinpoint accuracy, using that catch radius to make plays. But we're still not seeing Taylor Gabriel make plays after the catch. We're not really seeing Tariq Cohen make plays after the catch. Trey Burton has never been a huge after the catch guy, but we're not seeing him really win those mismatches down the field. And some of that is Trubisky. Again, a lot of times yards after the catch can be a result of ball placement and where the receiver catches the ball. So I'm trying not to be too harsh on Gabriel and Cohen, but at the end of the day, you invest in all these playmakers. You need more playmaking from your playmakers. Some of that is on Nagy to scheme them up better. Some of that's on Trubisky to put the ball in a better spot for them to make plays, but some of it's on these guys too. I mean, just think about explosive plays. When you talk about offensive success, you know, we talked about Mahomes and the Chiefs, but the Chiefs offense getting a lot of explosive plays because they have explosive playmakers in Sammy Watkins, Tariq Hill, Travis Kelce. You think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Fitz magic is taking over the NFL. DeSean Jackson, big plays down the field. Mike Evans, a big play jump ball wide receiver. O.J. Howard making some big plays over the middle of the field. The Bears cannot make big plays right now. Those are the plays that can change a game for the offense, and those are some of the things that you saw the Bears struggle to do last year under Dowell Loggins, and I'm not trying to make a comparison there, but I'm just saying it is the symptom of ineffective offense. And so you're seeing a Bears team, you know, running an offense sometimes in spite of its quarterback and winning this game in spite of the quarterback. And it's concerning because of how bad this Seahawks defense was. I mean, when you look at the starting lineup for the Seahawks without Shaquille Griffin, without Trey Flowers, without KJ Wright, and without Bobby Wagner, Griffin did play. I mean, the average Bears fan sitting at home could probably name one starter on the Seahawks defense. If you don't watch the Seahawks or follow them very closely, you know Earl Thomas. You maybe know Shaquille Griffin. You probably know Shaquem because of the one hand. But as far as like good players on their defense, there was one. It was Earl Thomas. And that front seven was garbage. They had three bad linebackers and not a very strong defensive line. And the Bears offense still struggled to move the ball against them. And it's concerning when the Bears play an actual good defense down the stretch here. Defenses are figuring out how to get into to Mitchell Trubisky's head. And again, they play the Arizona Cardinals next week. They're not going to have much problem against one of the worst teams in the NFL, but eventually, when you play the better teams on the schedule, you get into the Buccaneers in two games. You're going to have some offensive firepower in that one. You're going to play the Patriots. You're going to play the Vikings twice, the Rams, the Packers again, the 49ers. I mean, the Bears are going to need more from their offense, and it's concerning that they were still struggling against what I thought was a pretty bad Seattle Seahawks defense. I mean, really, Pete Carroll is thrift store shopping for linebackers for his defense. I mean, they signed Michael Kendricks, who pleaded guilty to insider trading and is going to be sentenced to jail in a few months. And he had a pretty good game. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with thrift store shopping. Maybe not in terms of building an NFL defense, but when you're talking about filling out your closet, it's always nice to go find a good deal on some gently used clothes. But you know, it's a hassle sometimes to go to the thrift store and look through the racks and stuff. There is an easier way to do it. You got to check out this new site. It's called swap.com. It's the largest online consignment and thrift store. You don't have to drive from store to store. Like I said, there's millions of clothes you can sift through, and you know, you're just clicking away at your computer. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off the retail price of all your favorite brands: Nike, J. Crew, Gap, Carter's, Lululemon. I mean, they've got quality hand-inspected items. They're constantly adding to their rotation daily. And if something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free returns all within 30 days. We've got a special offer for swap.com for Locked On Bears listeners. You can get 35% off select items on your first order if you use the promo code Locked On. It's the same promo code we use all the time. It'll get you 35% off already great deals on, again, lightly used clothing, some phenomenal discounts here already. And then you use that Locked On promo code and take an additional 35% off. I mean, you are going to get some steals at swap.com. I really do think Matt Nagy's in a tough position here as Bears head coach. And I mean, every coach is put in a lot of tough decisions, but when you have a quarterback struggling like this, I mean, first of all, I mean, it's tough because I do feel like it limits what you can do in the passing game. But to me, that just signals an even bigger emphasis should be put on the running game. And we just didn't see it. And we talked last week about how I didn't think it was as abandoned as I thought against Green Bay. But I think it was definitely way too abandoned against the Seahawks here. I mean, the Bears never trailed in this ballgame. They scored on their first drive and were never behind on the scoreboard. That is the time to hand the ball off. And so really quickly here, I just want to take you drive by drive through this game to try and illustrate how much the Bears avoided handing the ball off to Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. First drive of the game, the scoring drive. Runs on the first two plays. Great. Coming out of the gate on the ground. Seven of the next eight plays are passes, and it's a touchdown to Trey Burton. Okay. You scored, I'll take it. You didn't have to run. You did some passing to get Trubisky going. Fine. Second drive, mixing in some runs again. Pretty good. You know, and then you get to third and three. Trubisky runs the read option, makes the right decision to keep it because the linebacker crashed down. I think it was the defensive end, crashed down on the run, so Trubisky keeps it. And then he tries to go outside of Trey Burton's block, and Trey Burton is not a very good blocker, and the Bears punt. Okay, not the end of the world. Two drives. Maybe not as many runs as you'd like, but you're sitting fine. Third drive, one pass. Trubisky, interception, throwing, underthrowing to Allen Robinson. Okay, one drive, one play, okay, whatever. Fourth drive, first play, running play. Yeah, we're getting back to the running game. Four straight passes, interception. Fifth drive, mixing in some runs again and ultimately get downfield, a couple running plays here and there, some passes, some runs again. Bears get a field goal. Okay, so that takes you to halftime. And you've gotten two scoring drives, and on the first scoring drive, you ran a little bit and then passed the rest of the way. The last scoring drive, you mixed in some runs, and the rest was a lot of passing and two interceptions and a punt. Second half, okay, time to go to halftime, readjust, and run the ball, right? You have a lead. I think you're pitching you weren't quite pitching a shutout at that point. I think the Seahawks scored at the end of the first half, but time to run the ball, right? Well, first drive of the second half, one run, four passes, sacked on third down. Second drive, three straight passes, one run, three straight passes, punt. So first two drives, two runs out of, quick math, 15 plays, 14 plays, 7 and 5, 12 plays. Some live math for you there. Two runs on 12 plays in your first two drives. Great. Abandoned the running game right there. Third drive of the second half, you mix in some runs again, he gets back to the running game, and what do you know? Trubisky drives down, and you score a touchdown on a nice play-action passing play for Trubisky. Wow. What an amazing thing running the ball does for your young, jittery quarterback. But then fourth drive, three passes, three and out. What do you know? Get away from the running game and another bad drive. Then Prince Amukamara has the pick six, and the game is pretty much over. But, I mean, quick recap there. Your three scoring drives involved a lot of running, except for that first one, which was two runs on the first play and the scripted plays of the drive. And your interceptions were pass-heavy drives. Your punts were pass-heavy drives. Three and out, three passes. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out here. And I think even furthermore, you're not seeing Matt Nagy run the ball in the right ways and in the right situation. So, because I mean, you can sit there and say, well, Lauren, look, Jordan Howard only averaged 2.5 yards per carry. He had 35 yards on 14 attempts. His longest run was 7 yards. And yes, that's not good. But A, it is your job as the play caller and offensive head coach to find ways to free up space for your running back, because we know Jordan Howard is a good running back. Second of all, I thought a lot of that was on the offensive line, as is, and Howard was doing a pretty decent job, just didn't have a lot of space to work with. So when you look at the situations in which Jordan Howard has been used as a runner through the first two games, because we haven't seen a ton of rushing success from him. We saw, 82 yards on 15 carries last week was pretty solid, and then again, the 2.5 yards per carry this week. You look at just how they're calling these running plays. It's a lot of two tight ends on the field, a fullback, not this week, but last week, a fullback on the field. And as a result, they're running against 7-man, 8-man boxes. I was pulling the numbers here before this podcast. When Jordan Howard is rushing against the opposing team's base defense, whether it's the Seahawks in their 4-3 or the Packers in their 3-4, Jordan Howard, and I believe Tariq Cohen, I think I looked at both running backs together, averaged 2.3 yards per carry against the base defenses. Against nickel and dime defenses, 5.6 yards per carry. So when you bring out three wide receivers on the play, Jordan Howard gets more rushing yards because there's fewer guys in the box. I mean, this is not hard stuff to figure out. And when there's two tight ends in the game, he's a sub 4 yards per carry rusher, because when you bring two tight ends in the game, the defense responds with 7 and 8 guys in the box. And guess what? Trey Burton, not a very good run blocker. Deion Sims, not a very good blocker. So, I mean, your tight ends are not making up for the added bulk in the box from the defense. We've not seen the Bears run a rushing play with four wide receivers in the game. And we saw that even the Seahawks have a little bit of success with this, that when you put four wide receivers and one running back, if the defense comes out in a dime look, they're putting five guys in the box, and you've got five offensive linemen plus your running back. That's just, it's running the football in the NFL is a numbers game. Do you have the equal or more number of blockers than they do defensive players? And when your two of your blockers are Deion Sims and Trey Burton, those numbers don't favor you. So if you can get five offensive linemen against what is typically four defensive linemen and one linebacker in a dime defensive look, that is an advantage for your running game. That is when you can kind of create these mismatches. And then if they do try and bring down a sixth defender in the box against your four wide receiver look to try and get better numbers there, then that's opening something else up in your passing game. But instead, we see too much of this Bears load up with two tight ends and run the ball and get nowhere, and then when they spread it out, they're almost always passing. It's simple things. It's a numbers game to run the ball more effectively, and Matt Nagy has not been able to consistently do that through two games. And I guess maybe some of this should have been expected, in the sense that maybe we saw some of this with Kareem Hunt at times last year when Nagy was the play caller in Kansas City. But more importantly, and I've said this all along, Matt Nagy is an inexperienced play caller. It was my big concern about when the Bears hired him as a head coach, and I've stood by this since they hired him, that it's always going to be a lot of risk there. He was a boom and bust head coach signing, and I'm not saying he's either a boom or a bust at this point, but it's easy to kind of say when there are flaws in his play calling and in his head coaching, that can often be attributed to a lack of experience, which was something we knew about him coming in. So I guess in that sense, we also need to be as patient with Matt Nagy as we do with Mitchell Trubisky, which maybe is not an ideal combination. You know, like, you can afford to be patient with your quarterback so long as your head coach is ready to be there and know how to properly be patient with him and operate the offense in spite of that. Or maybe you could be patient with your head coach if you had a quarterback who could kind of make up for perhaps play calling issues or a lack of a running game. But instead, you do have a young quarterback that needs more from his head coach. You have a head coach that needs more from his young quarterback. And as a result, it's not that the Bears are going to be bad. It's just that it's going to take more time than we initially thought for everything to come together, if it's going to come together here. That, you know, we get excited about the Jared Goff turnaround and the Rams and Carson Wentz's turnaround and, you know, his emergence and these recent young quarterbacks having early success and these recent young head coaches having early success. But Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky are kind of bringing that back down to earth and reminding us that the majority of the time, it does take a long time for players and head coaches to develop and become great. That rarely, it is most commonly now the exception when you have Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And it's not fair to necessarily put Matt Nagy and Trubisky at that level of expectation. It's going to take time for those two guys to develop. And I think it's just further emphasis that 2018 might not be the year for the Bears to make that big playoff push, but if they can both develop at the rate that we both expect and think they should, then that 2019 and beyond is when you can start to see that relationship really bear fruit. But until then, it is a development process for both Trubisky and Nagy. There's going to be some really bright spots along the way. There's going to be some negative spots here too. I think we're going to see a lot of bright spots next week against the Arizona Cardinals, but when you start to play teams like the Patriots and the Vikings, and we've seen it in the second half against the Packers, there's going to be some negatives there too. It's going to make it a little bit of a roller coaster type season. It's still going to be fun nonetheless. I hope you'll stick with us here on Locked On Bears as we talk you through all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly. I know maybe a little bit on this podcast, I talked as though this was a team that lost, but it was an ugly win, and we got to be realistic about where this Bears team is. It's not a win that I felt like should give you a lot of confidence and a lot of optimism moving forward. I think they're going to look really good next week against one of the worst teams in the NFL, but beyond that, the gauntlet gets a lot tougher, and like I said, Locked On Bears will be here to break it all down. As always, the best way to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis is to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. We'd also appreciate it if you go onto iTunes or Apple Podcasts and leave us that nice review. I think that's how we move up a little bit in the iTunes charts and the rankings and all that. And really, almost more importantly, just tell a friend about Locked On Bears. If you love our daily Bears talk, our daily Bears analysis, that's really the best way to help us grow the show and help us reach more Bears fans and have us all consume this sport we love with, you know, more intelligence, more discourse. Speaking of discourse, be sure to use the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line, 312-620-8590. If you want to join the conversation, if you want to push back on what I said today about Trubisky and Nagy and Roquan Smith or whatever, you can fight me with a voicemail or a text there and we'll talk about it on the show. Or if you just have any reaction to what we saw on Monday night or what we see moving forward, that voicemail and text line is always open. And the best ones make it on this podcast. And I think it makes for a more enriching and fruitful discussion as we get some voices of the Bears fans here. Don't be afraid to call in. We've heard people do it on the podcast before. They've done a great job. We've got great questions, and I hope we'll keep getting more and more great stuff. I love the loyal Locked On Bears listeners. You guys have been sticking through a bad 2017 season, an up and down start to 2018, but it's going to be more good football ahead, and we'll be here for all of it. So in the meantime, keep it locked on Locked On Bears, and don't forget to do the one thing you have to do win, lose, or draw. It's an ugly win. It's an ugly loss. You still got to bear down.